The BBC presents Guilty Party. A problem in crime detection in which you are invited to match your wits with a panel of experts. John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian. First, you'll hear the crime play, Bullet in a Bull. The panel will then decide on a line of investigation and cross-examine the suspects who give unscripted answers to their questions. But first of all, here's Joe McCready, private investigator.
I am not a country lover, and in consequence, the English countryside is full of large, oldly-worldly mansions to which I am not invited. Which doesn't alter the fact that, much too early one morning, I was on my way to Peacock's Farm with Inspector Galloway to spend a quiet Sunday. And, if I could stand it, a quiet Monday, too.
Well, here we are, Joe. Peace and quiet. The old farmhouse, the farmyard, the barns. The whole place reeks of oldie England.
It certainly reeks of something.
And there's Mrs. Peacock herself, the farmer's wife. Hello there. She's a wonderful woman, always cheerful.
Does she always cry when she's cheerful?
Eh? Good Lord, you're right. She is crying. Mrs. Peacock, whatever's the matter?
Oh, Inspector. I'm so glad you've come today.
This is Joe McCready, Mrs. Peacock, a private investigator. The very old friend I was telling you about.
Mrs. Peacock was all that you'd expect an old-fashioned farmer's wife to be, complete with graying hair, a face like a rosy apple, and a white starched apron, one corner of which she was now using to wipe her honest eyes.
I can't think whoever could have done such a wicked thing. My husband's prize bull, dead.
Oh, dear, I am sorry. Not foot and mouth, I hope.
The vet's in with the animal now. He happened to be passing, and I called him in. But he says it was deliberate, Inspector. Someone murdered the poor beast. Mm. And my husband's away making arrangements for it to be shown at the big county show. He'll go mad. That bull was his own life. He's been breeding for years to get a champion.
Who's on the farm at the moment, Mrs. Peacock, aside from yourself?
Only young John Bishop, the stockman, and my daughter, Trudy.
Where are they now?
Trudy's in the dairy, finishing off after milking, and John's mending a gate near the spinney field. At least that's where they should be.
You don't seem very certain that they will be where you've just suggested.
Well, they're both young and very fond of each other. And John's leaving at the end of next week.
Leaving? Sacked, you mean?
Yes. My husband gave him a week's notice yesterday before he went away.
Oh, any particular reason? A bad worker or something?
Oh, no. John's a wonderful stockman. It's because my husband found out that he and Trudy were getting too interested in each other. Mr. Peacock has big ideas for Trudy once he's won a show championship and can look upon himself as an important man in the pedigree world.
Well, the death of this bull will put paid to that, I suppose, for the time being, anyway.
For good, I hope. I never wanted us to be anything but quiet, steady farming folk.
Now, Mrs. Peacock, would you let Trudy and John Bishop marry if they want to?
Oh, of course. They'd be ideal for each other. But my husband wouldn't hear of it. So he sacked the best stockman for miles around. And now the Pride of the Peacocks is dead. Killed. That was the bull's name. Pride of the Peacocks.
Let's go across and see the vet, Joe. Find out what happened.
Right, Inspector.
Careful across the yard. It's a sea of mud at the moment. But there are some gumboots near the kitchen door.
And those gumboots were a necessity. It was muddy. We plowed across, ankle deep, to the bull's quarters and found a very dead bull and a very alive vet. He was in a hurry to get on to another case, but told us definitely that the bull had been shot dead. The bullet had gone in plumb between the eyes, but there were no signs of powder burns on the bull's forehead. Anyway, the vet said he'd be back later to extract the bullet, but that his guess would be that it was from a heavy army-type revolver rather than a rifle. The bull had been dead about half an hour, which would mean it had been shot approximately at 8 o'clock. We went back to the farmhouse, changed into more civilized footwear, and met Trudy Peacock, the daughter, who was a rather more pneumatic version of her mum. Just a simple country girl of about 23, in sweater and jeans. I could understand John Bishop's interest.
Oh, this is a wicked thing. A wicked thing. Who did it?
Well, that's what we aim to find out for your mother, Trudy. Where were you at 8 o'clock?
I told you, Inspector. She was finishing off after milking.
Just a minute, Mum. In case I'm a suspect, too. I've an idea that at 8 o'clock, I wasn't in the dairy.
Where were you, then?
I was probably in the spinney.
With John Bishop?
Yes. I can't be sure about the time, but I think it was just about 8. I wanted to see him to make plans. Just because Pop said that he was going to be a champion bull breeder, and therefore his daughter must marry a belted earl or something equally unlikely. Well, that didn't mean it had to happen.
I know, darling, but...
But me no buts. I'm John's girl and nobody else's. Not even Farmer Faraday's. I say, he'll be chortling at this business. Because his bull will cakewalk all the local shows there.
So, Farmer Faraday could be another possible suspect.
Yes, but hardly. He lives a good half hour's ride away.
He phoned this morning at 7:30.
What for?
To ask whether your dad and I discussed his plan to marry you. He wanted our blessing.
What? That old goat?
Don't worry. Your father had left a very strong message about that. Said he'd no intention of wasting his daughter on one of the feckless Faradays.
Good for Dad.
To get back to this murdered bull.
Well, if it's dead, it's dead. Poor thing. He was such a gentle bull, too. Never did any harm to anyone.
But if he'd won a lot of championships, he might have done.
Yes. He might easily have upset our family altogether. I'd never have seen my husband for months on end. I'd have had to run the farm while he went gallivanting off to show after show. But I never wanted anything like this to happen. Right in the middle of the spring cleaning, too.
Oh, poor Mum and her spring cleaning. If you ask me, that's the reason Dad went off yesterday. When Mum spring cleans, she makes a right job of it. Every bit of furniture's changed round.
It makes the house look different.
New. Certainly does. Especially when you wake up in the middle of the night and find everything in the bedroom in a different place.
Quite. Tell me, Mrs. Peacock, were you spring cleaning this morning at 8:00?
Oh, no. I hadn't started. I did all the upstairs rooms yesterday, and I was in the washhouse doing my weekly wash.
On a Sunday morning?
I know. Isn't it awful?
Did you hear anyone come into the house at all? Or come near the place about 8:00?
No. With a washing machine and a spin dryer on the go, I wouldn't. Wonder I heard the phone at 7:30.
Your washhouse looks over the yard?
No. Over the fields. In any case, the windows are all steamed up when I'm washing.
Mrs. Peacock, is there a gun in the house?
2 shotguns. Mr. Peacock's and John's.
Any other firearms?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yes, there is, Mum. There's Dad's army revolver.
So there is, in our bedroom. Would you like to see it, Inspector? Mr. Peacock kept it loaded ever since a dangerous lunatic escaped from a mental home 6 months ago. The whole countryside was terrified.
We would like to see it, Mrs. Peacock. In the meantime, Trudy, perhaps you'd fetch John Bishop. We'd like to have a word with him.
John? Oh, but John wouldn't harm the pride. He was as proud of that bull as Dad. He raised it. Oh, he'd never hurt it.
All the same, we'd better see him, if you don't mind. Now, Mrs. Peacock, could we see the revolver, please?
In Mr. and Mrs. Peacock's bedroom, they were shown a chest of drawers, and from the top drawer, we very carefully took out a loaded army revolver. It had been fired quite recently. One bullet was missing from the chamber. Mrs. Peacock swore she wouldn't have known how to fire it, even if she wanted to. So far, so good. Then we went downstairs to meet John Bishop. He was a burly, bright-eyed, fresh-complexioned, rather slab-faced young man who looked as though he could have felled an ox with one mighty blow. He wore Wellington boots, and they were clean. He seemed very angry with somebody.
I could kill whoever done it. Kill him. Why, that bull's the pride and joy of my career as a stockman.
A career that comes to an abrupt end next week, as far as the Peacock family are concerned. Right?
Oh, that. Doesn't bother me. If the pride of the Peacocks had swept all before him at the next 4 or 5 shows, everyone would know that I was the man who worked on him. I wouldn't have suffered.
Where were you at 8:00?
Well, I was supposed to have mended the gate down at Spinney Field. Not sure about the time, but about 8 I was down there.
Then what? You say you were supposed to be there.
Then I was joined by Trudy, and we left the gate and went into Spinney.
Did you hear a shot? Or anything that sounded like a shot?
Yes. Come to think I did, but I took no notice. Lots of chaps out with shotguns just now, after pigeons and odd rabbits and such like. Shotgun bang wouldn't have registered hardly. It's the common.
Hmm. Could you have got to the bull's pen from the Spinney without going through the farmyard?
Eh? No, couldn't have. But I say, Trudy just told me Pride had been killed. Did he suffer much? What did they do to him?
Oh, dear. More trouble. It's Mr. Faraday. Might have known he'd be over.
I'm off. Can't stand the sight of the man. Don't start fighting him, John.
He's not worth the effort, Trude.
Don't call me Trude. It's rude.
You want me still, gentlemen?
Yes, 1 or 2 more questions.
All right.
But don't speak unless you're spoken to. And don't give anything away to Mr. Faraday. He's another suspect.
I understand.
Come on in, Mr. Faraday.
And so entered suspect number 4, Mr. Faraday. He was a large, fleshy man with baggy eyes and 2 cheeks that had so many thin red lines on them, they looked like road maps of England and Wales. He was wearing a checked cap, which he didn't bother to remove, a riding jacket and gray flannel trousers. It seemed odd he wasn't in riding breeches. He looked the type somehow. His shoes were a rich mahogany brown with that dull shine on them that denotes years of careful attention. His nose was the same.
Well, 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 Mrs. Peacock. I was so upset at your message, you know, I jumped on my horse and galloped off in all directions, as the saying is. Then I thought maybe we'd best not be hasty, so here I am.
These 2 gentlemen are Inspector Galloway and Mr. MacCready.
I've seen you here before, Galloway.
Yes, probably. I visited Peacock's farm 2 or 3 times. You may have seen me about.
Mr. McCready is a private investigator.
Good Lord, is he now? Keyhole peeping. Who's with whom, and who doesn't know about it, eh?
Sort of.
It must be an exciting life.
You meet all sorts.
Well, Mrs. Peacock, I've no desire to discuss private matters in front of these gentlemen. Or young Bishop here.
Just a second, Mr. Faraday. The prize ball here.
The old man's pride and joy, eh? Pride of the Peacocks. Well, I reckon with any luck, he might come second to my beast.
Mr. Faraday, pride of the Peacocks has been killed.
Killed? Good heavens, I say, that's a pretty bad show. I am sorry.
I bet.
And you've just been sacked, I gather, Bishop.
So what?
Oh, nothing.
Are you suggesting that John Bishop killed the bull?
He had a revenge motive.
So would you. So would you, Faraday.
Mr. Faraday, to come in.
You must be a suspect too, Mr. Faraday.
Oh, what am I supposed to have done then, eh? Swept into the farmyard there on me gallant steed like a TV Wild West hero, drawn me trusty six-shooter and taken a quick shot at the bullseye? Oh, dog sense.
What time did you leave home, Mr. Faraday? To come here, I mean.
As soon as I spoke to Mrs. Peacock. But I didn't come straight here. I rode around to cool off first.
So you've got no alibi, then?
Alibi for what?
For shooting Pride of the Peacocks.
This is stupidity. I'm going back home. I'll see you when all this is cleared up.
Now, hang on a second, please. Mr. Bishop.
Yeah?
Did you know there was a loaded revolver in the house?
Loaded revolver?
Of course he did.
Did you then, Mr. Faraday?
Yes. So did all of us. I was here when Mr. Peacock told us at the time the lunatic escaped from the mental hospital. Told you all where it was. In the top drawer of his chest of drawers, the one by the window. I don't pretend you didn't know that, Bishop, because you'll be caught out.
Yes. I beg your pardon. Of course I was here. I remember now.
Mr. Faraday is quite right. We all knew about it.
How long do you say it would take you to ride over here, Mr. Faraday, from your home?
Still on at me, eh? About half an hour by car. Same by horse, cross country. 5 minutes more, maybe. But, tell the truth now. Do I look as though I've walked across a mucky farmyard? Look at me and then use a bit of common sense.
Well, thank you, Mr. Faraday. And now, Mrs. Peacock, could we have a look at the front of your house?
The front? Why, of course. You mean the side that faces away from the farmyard? This way, then.
Before you go, Inspector, Mr. Faraday forgot to tell you one thing.
Oh?
Yes. He's a crack shot with a revolver.
That's right. John Bishop and I are members of the same shooting club. Last year, he beat me in the final for the President's Prize. Is that helpful?
Could be, gentlemen. Could easily be. Well, let's go, Mrs. Peacock. We noticed as we came here, Mrs. Peacock, the scaffolding at the front of the house here.
Yes. My husband's having an extra room built over that garage at the end there.
With ladders and everything handily in position, anybody could get in, couldn't they? Upstairs, I mean.
Yes, I suppose they could.
Tell me truthfully, Mrs. Peacock. John Bishop is a crack shot, apparently. Has he ever tried to teach you or Trudy how to shoot?
He did try at the time of the scare, but I was so nervous he gave me up as a bad job.
Thank you, Mrs. Peacock. I think that's all we want to know. Well, Joe, what's your verdict?
Well, listeners, there is the problem. Now, Edward J. Mason, who wrote the play, will introduce the suspects.
And the suspects in this particular case are, of course, Mrs. Peacock, the farmer's wife, her daughter Trudy Peacock, John Bishop, the cowman boyfriend, and Mr. Faraday, the local farmer. So I'll hand them all over now to you, John Arlott, and let's see if you and your panel of experts can decide who is the guilty party.
Thank you, Ted. Well, I think we'd like to speak to John Bishop first. Now then, you said to Inspector Galloway and Mr. McCready when you were talking to them, what happened to it? What happened to Pride? And yet, a few minutes later, you know that it had been shot. How do you account for that?
Well, earlier on, I was asked if I'd heard a shot, and naturally enough, I assumed that that's how the poor animal had been hurt.
Then why should you ask what happened to it?
Well, Trudy didn't give me the details when she came and told me just that he'd been killed, and I didn't know how it had been done.
Well, now, you're a country fella. Was it a shotgun 12-bar, or was it a revolver shot?
Well, I was busy down the spinning.
Well, you should know.
Well, it was just a bang. It was just a shot. It could have been a backfire, for all I knew.
You had experience of firing a service revolver, have you?
I've had experience of firing revolvers, yes, sir.
A good deal of it.
Well, I'm a member of the shooting club.
In fact, you're the local champion.
Well, I...
You won the President's
Prize. Did win the President's Prize against...
With a revolver.
With one of the club revolvers.
With one of the club revolvers.
That's right.
Are they the same caliber as this one in the farmhouse?
I don't really know.
You knew there was a revolver in the farmhouse, didn't you?
Oh, yes, indeed, I did.
Everybody knew.
Everybody
knew. After this lunatic escaped, everybody was told about it.
That's right, about 6 months ago, therefore.
But now, you tried to teach Mrs. Peacock and Trudy Peacock to use that revolver.
Well, of course. They've got to protect themselves when there's a maniac about.
Did you have any luck with either of them?
Well, Mrs. Peacock was a dead loss. She held it with both hands and was frightened when the thing went off.
But she did fire it.
Oh, she fired it.
Where do you sleep?
Top of the building.
In the farmhouse?
In the farmhouse, right on the top floor.
First of all, what time did you go out this morning?
I went out about 6:15.
Was Mrs. Peacock up then?
No, I could hear sounds of life coming. You know how you can hear people moving about now. She wasn't actually down in the kitchen.
She was in her room, do you think?
I think she must have been, yes.
Did you come back to the farmhouse again between leaving it at 6:30, as you say, 6:15, and Trudy coming down to fetch you up?
No, I went straight down to the spinney to look at that gate, what wanted attention.
That's good enough for the moment, John. Now I wonder if we could speak to Trudy. You say you think you met John Bishop down at the spinney about 8 o'clock?
That's right, around about 8 o'clock.
Could it have been before 8?
Well, it might have been a couple of minutes before, but I shouldn't think any more than that.
Could you have got a watch on?
No, I hadn't.
Could it have been after 8?
Might have been a few minutes after 8, yes.
You just finished milking, did you?
Yes, I had.
What time do you start milking?
Well, I got up around about 6. I started milking. What, about 7-ish, I should think? Something like that.
And you finish at...
Well, just before 8.
Matthew, what's your feeling about your father for refusing his consent to your marriage?
Well, of course, I mean, you know what fathers are. I can understand his feelings, but I'm quite sure of one thing. I'm sure he'll come round to it.
Have you been to your mother's bedroom this morning?
No.
Before?
Positive.
Was your mother up and out of her room when you left to go into the milking?
No, I don't think she was out of her room. I think I heard her moving about. I wouldn't be certain. I was a bit late this morning and I was a bit rushed and I sort of dived out of the place. I didn't really...
She finished moving all the furniture in the upstairs yesterday, hadn't she?
Oh, that's right. One of her endless spring cleaning racks, yes.
Had you seen what she'd moved?
No, I hadn't. No. I didn't have time.
Did you see Mr. Faraday that morning?
No,
at all.
No, thank you. The less I see
of
him, the better.
Well, then, let's talk in another direction. Did you see Pride of the Peacocks when you left the milking to go down to John?
No, I didn't look.
Good enough, Miss Peacock. Thank you very much. Now I wonder if we can talk to Mr. Faraday. How do you do, Mr. Faraday?
How do you do?
What made you say, as soon as you knew the bull was dead, do you think I rode in on my trusty steed like a television cowboy and drew my trusty six-shooter and shot it? How did you know it had been shot?
Well, son, it was a ridiculous suggestion, wasn't it? I mean, after all, the bull was dead, wasn't it?
It was a good guess.
Guess? Well, old man, I didn't think anybody would strangle it with his bare hands.
Nor did I, but it so happened that your guess was right.
Yes, so it happened.
What time did you get up?
What time did I get up? Oh, I think about... 6:30 to 7:00.
How far away from this place where the bull was killed do you live?
How far away? Oh, I should think we're about 14 miles, something like that.
Do you mean this is 14 miles by road or 14 miles across country?
Well, I think of it more in terms of time, you know, for it takes me about 30 minutes by car, and to ride across country takes me roughly about the same time by horse, or a few minutes more, you know.
Did you know that Peacock has got a... revolver loaded in the drawer?
Oh, yes. He told us all, you see. When this mad fellow escaped, you know, he said, if he comes around here, I want you all to know that I've got a gun and I want you to know where it is so you can go up there and protect yourselves. And I thought it was very sensible, didn't you?
You were to ride over 14 miles and get a gun to protect yourself from an escaped lunatic?
No, if we'd been there at the time, old chap, you see.
Well, are you often there at the time?
Well, I've called at the farm. Yes.
Had you been to the Peacock's farm that morning before you came over and talked to... MacReady and Inspector Galloway?
No, Chad, no.
That was your first appearance at the farm.
That was my first appearance at the farm, yes.
Yes, all right, for the moment, Mr. Faraday. I wonder if we could speak to Mrs. Peacock.
What time did you wake up?
Well, as far as I can remember, I woke up about 6:15.
Any reason for that?
Well, I always do wake up at that time on a Sunday morning because I've got my washing to do.
Yeah, and your husband, he's the man with the revolver in the drawer of the room in the bedroom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You knew it was in?
Had you happened to move any of the furniture in the bedroom? You had been moving
the
day before.
Yes, I had. Yes.
Had you moved the table and the chest of drawers in which the revolver was kept?
Yes, I'd moved that the day before.
Oh, where had you moved it from and where had you moved it to?
I'd moved it from by the door over to the window.
Over to the window?
Yes.
I see. Now, tell me just, you have fired this revolver.
Well, I've
tried. Yes.
Well, I say fired it. I don't mean that you're an expert shot, but you could make it go off with both hands.
Well, only with help, you know, with John Bishop telling me what to do, and as you say, with both hands.
Both fingers on the trigger and pulled and shut your eyes and went off.
Yes.
And the bullet went out in front somewhere, didn't it?
Yes.
However, if you'd been resting it on something, it would have been unfortunate for anything that was in front of it, wouldn't it, really?
Well, I suppose it would, really.
I wouldn't have liked to stand there, you know, even if you had your eyes shut.
No.
When a woman is in a certain frame of mind, she's awfully dangerous with a revolver, whether she can use it or not.
When you were getting up, you say you woke up at 6:15. Did you then start to get up?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear John Bishop come down and go out?
Yes, I did. I heard him just as usual, you know.
And did you hear your daughter go out?
Yes.
Then neither of them could have gone to the chest of drawers and got the revolver at least until you were up.
Oh, no.
Did you go out into the yard?
Immediately, do you mean?
That morning. You came down, roughly speaking, and started to do your washing.
Yes.
On a Sunday morning.
Yes.
Did you go out for a breath of air? It's very steamy in there.
Well, I didn't exactly go out for a breath of air. I was too busy. But when I'd been washing for a bit, I suddenly realized that nobody was getting the breakfast, you see.
Yeah.
Trudy always gets the breakfast on a Sunday morning because I'm very busy with my washing.
Yes.
So I certainly did dry my hands and just go out and have a look for her.
Well, there I see is the producer's signal that this is the end of our interrogation time, so we must pass the suspects back to you, Ted Mason.
Thank you very much, John. And while you and your panel are deciding amongst yourselves who is the guilty party, I'll just run over the suspects in the case once more for the benefit of those listeners at home who aren't yet quite sure. Mrs. Peacock had bags of motive, and indeed she had the opportunity too, but apparently she wasn't too well up in the handling of firearms. Trudy Peacock, the daughter, now she could handle a gun fairly well, but on the face of it, she doesn't seem to have very much motive for this crime unless she was anxious to show her displeasure at the way her boyfriend had been treated by her father. Being a high-spirited girl, it looks as though she would have married the man of her choice anyway, whatever her father had said. John Bishop himself, well, he had motive, and unless the alibi falls to the ground, he had, I suppose, opportunity. And the revenge motive must have been pretty strong with him. He can't be ruled out. Mr. Faraday, of course, the man who sounds like the wicked squire in the melodrama, well, he had motive, certainly. But whether he had the opportunity or not is a different matter. I'd like to know now, John, what you and your panel think.
Well, we were inclined straight away to rule out Mrs. Peacock and John Bishop. John Bishop, because he is virtually an alibi from Trudy, because he can't have come back once she'd left the milking shed, because she found him down at the spinney and at the gate.
True.
And we're inclined to write off Mrs. Peacock. It's a bit violent and out of character. Well, Faraday, of course, argued his way out of saying, do you think I rode in on my horse and drew my trusty six-shooter and all that? He argued his way out of that, and I think fairly reasonably. But he did make one crucial error, and that was when he placed the revolver in the chest of drawers beside the window. But Mrs. Peacock, doing her spring cleaning upstairs only the day before, had moved it from near the door over to the window. So only somebody who had been into the bedroom since she finished spring cleaning the day before could possibly have known where the chest of drawers was. So Faraday puts the phone down at 7:30, rides round, knows roughly where everybody will be, goes up the ladder or the scaffolding into the bedroom and to the chest of drawers, because he knows Peacock has said in the past that he keeps the revolver there. He goes to it, probably the first time he's ever been in the bedroom. So as far as he's concerned, it's not just the chest of drawers, it's the chest of drawers by the window. But until that day, it's never been the chest of drawers by the window. So that obviously pins it onto him. Of course his shoes are clean, because he rides round on his horse with this gun, shoots the bull, perhaps from some range, and then goes back and puts the revolver back while Trudy and John are down in the spinney. Mrs. Peacock is in the wash house. He then rides away, turns, and rides back to find the bull dead.
Yes, I think that's a very fair summing up of exactly what happened. There were the two clues. The principal one was the misplaced chest of drawers, and the other one was really the fact that he'd admitted having some knowledge of shooting, although, as you say, he argued himself out of it. It was a slip on his part to have used that sort of simile about riding in like a Wild West cowboy and drawing his trusty six-shooter. But you've got the guilty party, and you've got 100%, I think. Well done.
John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian were the panel in Bullet in a Bull, a problem in crime detection from the BBC series Guilty Party. The play was written by Edward J. Mason and the program produced by Tony Schreiber.